بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد وعن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال حدثنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الصادق المصدوق إن أحدكم يجمع خلقه في بطن أمه 40 يوما نطفة ثم يكون علقة مثل ذلك ثم يكون مضغة مثل ذلك ثم يرسل الملك فينفخ فيه الروح ويؤمر ب4 كلمات بكتب رزقه وأجله وعمله وشقي أو سعيد فوالذي لا إله غيره إن أحدكم ليعمل بعمل أهل الجنة حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراع فيسبق عليه الكتاب فيعمل بعمل أهل النار فيدخلها وإن أحدكم ليعمل بعمل أهل النار حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراع فيسبق عليه الكتاب فيعمل بعمل أهل الجنة فيدخلها متفق عليهم. My dear respected brothers and elders, Alhamdulillah, we have started this chapter, Bab al-Khawf. The chapter in which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah is going to bring those ahadith through which a person, this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be created in the heart of a person. And it's very important that a person has this fear, because the whole purpose of fear is to become a barrier and to become an obstacle in falling into disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So hence Imam Nawawi rahimahullah is going to mention a few ahadith. So the first hadith of this chapter is narrated by Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. And this hadith is a very famous hadith, very important hadith. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has another kitab, famous kitab called Al-Arba'un. It's a compilation of 40 ahadith. And those 40 ahadith, according to Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, bring, or you can say, include the essence of Islam. The essence of Islam, or the entire essence of Islam, can be summarized and found in this collection of 40 ahadith. And one of those 40 ahadith is this hadith which is going to mention here. It's narrated by Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to us, وَهُوَ الصَّادِقُ الْمَصْدُوقُ. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the truthful one. And he is the one that people attest to his truthfulness as well. People confirm his truthfulness as well. The one is a person is truthful, however people don't regard him to be truthful. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is truthful and people also attest to his truthfulness. People also accept his truthfulness. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ يُجْمَعُ خَلْقُهُ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ 40 يَوْمًا نُطْفَةً. That indeed each of you, his creation is gathered, accumulated in the womb of his mother, in the stomach of his mother. 40 يَوْمًا نُطْفَةً. 40 days in the form of a nutfa. Nutfa is a drop of semen. Seminal fluid is known as nutfa. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ عَلَاقَةً مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. Thereafter he spends a period of 40 days in the form of alaqa, a blood clot. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ مُضْغَةً مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. Thereafter he remains for 40-day period as a piece of flesh. مُضْغَةٌ is a piece of flesh. ثُمَّ يُرْسَلُ الْمَلَكُ. Thereafter the angel is sent. فَيَنْفُخُ فِيهِ الرُّوحَ. And the angel blows the soul inside of this person. وَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتٍ. And then the angel is commanded to write down 4 things. بِكَتْبِ رِزْقِهِ. To write down his rizq, his sustenance. وَأَجَلِهِ. And to write down his lifespan, how long he will live. وَعَمَلِهِ. And to write down his deeds, his good and bad deeds. وَشَقِيٌّ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ. And to write down whether he will be a shaqi, a wretched person, an unfortunate person, or sa'id, a fortunate person. فَوَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning that I swear by the being that there is no one worthy of worship except for him. Meaning, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. That one of you, he performs the deeds of a person of Jannah. Of a Jannati person, he performs the deeds of a person of Jannah. Until there is not between him and Jannah except for a dhira', dhira', an arm's length, we can say. An arm's length between this person and Jannah. فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ. And then the destiny and the decree that was written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overtakes him. So he's performed the actions of a person of Jannah his whole life, until between him and Jannah is an arm span. Meaning before his death, we can say there's an arm span, a very short period left. And then he performs an action, and then his destiny, his fate overtakes him. فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيَدْخُلُهَا. And then he performs a deed from the deeds of the people of Jahannam, and he enters Jahannam. And similarly, there is one of you who performs the deeds of a person of Jannah until there is nothing between him and Jannah except for an arm span. And then his book of deeds overtakes him, his taqdeer overtakes him, his destiny overtakes him. فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. And then he performs a deed from the people of Jannah. فَيَدْخُلُهَا. And then he enters into Jannah. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. So it's a lengthy hadith. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu has narrated this hadith. But Imam Nawawi rahimahullah's purpose of bringing this hadith here is to encourage us, to motivate us, and to make us understand that everything has been planned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person should never become overconfident. And a person should never feel that I am someone special. It's in me, I can do it. Nobody else can do it. You know, I am better than other people. This pride, this arrogance should not be inside of a person. Why? Because when a person, the ulama talk about the different atwar, the different stages that a human being goes through, the 40 days a human being spends in as a drop of semen, and then 40 days as a clot of blood, and then 40 days as a piece of flesh. So all in all, 120 days. So roughly around 4 month period. 4 month period, isn't it? Roughly around 4 month period. And that's why many of the ahkam and laws of sharia are derived from this, about abortion and things like this. When abortion is allowed, is it permissible, is it not permissible? And all of this are discussed here. But what we want to discuss and talk about is the reason why Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought this hadith here. He mentions that when the child is 120 days old, so in the womb of the mother, so the child has a form. Maybe all the limbs are not properly formed, but it has some kind of form. Now this child, at this moment in time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an angel that go and write down how much sustenance, how much rizq this child will accrue, will earn in his lifetime. And similarly, his lifespan, how long he will live for, at that moment is written. And there are different narrations as well, riwayat. In some narrations, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that the angels say, the angels even write down the place in which the person will die at this moment in time. So everything, the lifespan, the place of death is written when the child is still in the womb of the mother, 120 year old fetus in the womb of the mother. Wa amalihi, his deeds, good deeds, bad deeds, everything is written at that moment in time. When hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, the angel goes and the angel says, Ya Allah, Ya Rabb, what should I write? What should I write about his lifespan? And then the command is given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that write this. Ya Rabb, what should I write about his deeds? And then the command is given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, write down these deeds and these deeds and these deeds. These good deeds and these bad deeds. All of them are written at that time. And finally, shaqiyun aw sa'idun. Is this person going to be unfortunate and wretched? Meaning, is his final abode going to be the fire of Jahannam? Or is he going to be fortunate in the sense that his final abode, his final destination will be Jannah? At this moment in time, when the child is still 120 days old, it is all written. And this hadith used to really terrify the Sahaba. It really used to scare them. And the pious people, it really used to scare them. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, it's mentioned that he used to do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You remember this hadith. He'd say, Allahumma in kunta katabtani fi ilmika shaqiyan famhuni waktubni sa'idan. You think, subhanallah, sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, oh Allah, if you have written me in my taqdeer and my destiny as shaqiyya, badbakht, unfortunate, wretched person, then oh Allah, please wipe it out and write me down as a fortunate person. They used to be so scared. And this hadith would keep the pious people always pondering. Sayyidina Malik ibn Dinar, rahimahullah ta'ala, it's mentioned that he would say, Ya Allah, you've taken you from your creation, from your servants, you've just picked a chunk of them, a portion of them, and you've selected them from Jannah. And another portion and chunk of them you selected from Jahannam. Ya Allah, and then he would say in Arabic, Oh Allah, which of those two groups of people is Malik's name in? I don't know. Malik doesn't know. Which of those two groups of people did you put Malik's name in?
And he would keep them motivated. He would help them stay humble. So this is the purpose of the hadith, that the fear is there in the heart of the person, that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows my ending. Which means that every single step of my life, I should try and live my life according to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and always remain fearful. That what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes me to task? Imam Ibn Rajab Hanbali rahmatullahi alayhi mentions a beautiful point. He says, you know, the abrar, the pious people. He says the abrar, the pious people. And he ranks abrar and muqarrabin. He says the abrar, the pious people, they focus on the now. That how is my a'mal now? What is happening now? You know, am I doing the right thing? Am I staying away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He says, however, the muqarrabin, Allah ta'ala's closest servants, they focus on a sin that they committed many, many, many years ago. And they are so overwhelmed by that sin that they don't know, has Allah ta'ala forgiven me for that sin or not? So they're so focused on that sin that right now what good I am doing, it makes no difference to them. Has Allah ta'ala forgiven me for that sin? Their whole life they will spend like that. And the famous hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned on the day of Qiyamah, when we see the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, the hadith of Shafa'a, when each Nabi, people will go to each Nabi of Allah saying, oh Adam, and they will ask Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wa salam to intercede on their behalf. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he mentions that he will remember a mistake that he made. And they will come to Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam will remember the mistake he made in Jannah for which he was removed from Jannah. Similarly, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam will say, I made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe I should not have made that dua for destruction to come upon my ummah. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam will remember a mistake that he made. So it shows that the closest servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fixate on their mistakes. That I made this mistake, what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not let me off the hook for it? And what happens to others is that we forget that we made any mistakes, and then we start doing good deeds, and then we start judging other people as well. That I am now some big Sufi, big pious person, big wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everybody, this person is wrong, that person is wrong, this person doesn't know what he's doing, these people have these mistakes. But the muqarrabin focus on their own sins and they're so overwhelmed by their own sin that they cannot ponder about, reflect upon anything else. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning here that Wallahi alladhi la ilaha ghayruhu, I swear by the being in whose hand is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person, he performs the deeds of a person of Jannah his whole life. His actions are spick and span. The way that Allah Ta'ala wants him to live his life, this is how he is leading his life. But just before he is about to enter Jannah, meaning just before he's about to pass away, his taqdeer, his fate, his destiny overtakes him. It was written for him in the womb that he is going to be from Jahannam. So he will perform the deeds of a person of Jahannam and he will enter Jahannam. And similarly, on the other hand, a person his whole life can be doing something which is on the wrong path, leading a wrong life, wrong lifestyle, performing many bad deeds. However, just before he's about to pass away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him hidayat. How many stories are there? Islamic history is littered with these stories of pious people who, in the early stages of their life, maybe they were not on this path. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them hidayah, Allah ta'ala accepted them. Look at many of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Look at their backgrounds, look at where they came from. Many Sahaba, we're talking today about Sayyidina Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's closest friend, Sayyidina Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith. The ulama mentioned that he was closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in friendship than Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, before Islam. However, when Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with Islam, Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith radiallahu anhu did not accept Islam. Rather, he became an ardent enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Islam. 23 years of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's prophethood and nubuwa, Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith did not accept Islam. But during the conquest of Makkah, Fathu Makkah, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he embraced Islam at this moment in time. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very upset when Sayyidina Abu Sufyan al-Harith did not become Muslim. Because he felt he's my closest friend. He should have been the first person to accept what I had to say. But Allah Ta'ala gave him hidayah many, many years later. And in that time frame, many people died as non-Muslim. But Allah Ta'ala had written hidayah for him. Sayyidina Abu Sufyan ibn Harr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the famous chief of Quraysh, he was responsible for so many, you know, on the part of the non-Muslims, causing so much problems for the Muslims. Yet later Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him hidayah. Sayyidina Ikrima ibn Abi Jahl radiallahu anhu, another famous sahabi, was responsible for causing so much harm to the Muslims. Later Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him hidayah. This is hidayat, is in the guidance, is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala mentions this clearly in the Quran. Innaka la tahdi man ahbabta, walakin Allah yahdi man yasha. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you can't give guidance and hidayah to whoever you want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives hidayah to whomsoever He wants. So many of the great pious people, they started off their life and they had a certain trajectory, and Allah Ta'ala gave them hidayah. So it's very, very important that from this hadith, the lessons that we take is, first of all, we keep ourselves humble. And we don't rely on our a'mal, that my a'mal are good enough to enter me into Jannah. And we don't look at down at other people, that this person is like this, this person has no chance, this person has no hope. This person, gaya guzra, we say in Urdu. That this person has no hope, has no chance. Rather, we should look at every single person with the eye of shafqa and rahmah and love, that inshallah this person can also become a wali of Allah, can become a saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's to stop them? You know, one of my close friends, he started he had a trajectory where he went totally, totally off the right path. And his father was one of the greatest, mashallah, da'is in Oldham, doing a lot of effort of deen. And his son just went totally off path. And people used to say, look at this person, he goes to people's houses, calling people to the masjid, look at his son. And they used to use that to, you know, try and tarnish his name or try and bring him down. The father passed away. After the father passed away, the son once again came back onto the right path. And he went and he spent 4 months in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he went and became a alim. And now, mashallah, he's a very pious person, a very, 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 very pious person. You'd never even know that he had this trajectory. But this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes Allah ta'ala tests His servants in this manner. And we should never judge. Because when a person comes back, they could be a stronger believer than anyone. Sayyidina Mawlana Hazrat Mawlana Ash-Shamali Thanawi rahmatullahi alayhi, the great scholar from India, he used to say, "Main to apne aap ko tamam musalmanon se sabse," I can't remember the Urdu words properly, but he used to say, "I regard myself as the most inferior out of all of the Muslims." And he said, "Ma'alan, in the future I regard myself to be, when it comes to a non-Muslim, I regard myself to be inferior to even a non-Muslim in terms of the future. Because what if that non-Muslim becomes a Muslim? If he or she becomes a Muslim, then he or she will be better than me in the future. Meaning, I am absolutely nothing. Me kuch bhi nahi ho." So we have to have this, you know, this kind of mentality, this humility. It's very, very important. And we should always have this. And the reason why Imam Nawawi rahimullah has brought this hadith here is so that we have this fear at all times, that what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not accepted my action? What if Allah ta'ala does not forgive me for a certain sin? And this would help keep a person's heart soft, will help a person cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the tawfiq and ability to practice upon this hadith. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.